All right, now we're going to go to John chapter 21.
Didn't we get through reading John, though?
Yeah, we got through reading John.
But I got through the other day, several days
ago. Oh, yeah, several days ago.
Good, okay. Well, I had it written down there. And
you were right on time, John 21. The reason I had you read 21 days is because it takes 21 days to make a habit. So they say. I'm not sure that's true, though. That's just what they say. It does work with horses, but I don't know about people. You know what's funny with horses, though? It takes 21 days to really work something into them when you're training them, and it takes about 2 seconds to give them something wrong, and you can't get it out of them. It's very hard. I'm not sure about people. All right, John 21, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we'll read some. Well, I'm going to read part of it right now. John 21, verse 1 says, "And after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, which is James and John, and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the other, on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. All right. Here, as I was reading this the other day, and then I've done some more studying on it, we see Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John, the other two apostles that was with them were probably Philip and Andrew. They were all fishermen, so it makes sense that they were all, you know, they all decided to go. They no doubt followed Peter back to Galilee, to be honest, because if you find out, he was in Galilee. He wasn't supposed to be in Galilee. He was supposed to be somewhere else. But Peter had went to Galilee, and they followed him. And then Peter says, hey, I'm going fishing. And they all agreed, and they went with him. Peter was probably the oldest, and he was somewhat of a leader. As you read the four Gospels, you'll notice that Peter's always the front man. He's always the mouthy one. Always got something to say, and it didn't always turn out real good, but he tried. You gotta hand it to him. He stepped out and he tried. They were fishing all night and they caught nothing. In other words, here they are. Peter shows up. Peter standing there and he's looking at the Sea of Galilee, and really and truly, I won't blame it all on the fact that maybe Peter was going the wrong route. They had a lot happen in the last few days. And a lot had went on. And they needed some time to think. But Peter, they went back to Galilee. And I really think that's what Peter had in mind is, you know what, man, I'm done with this. And they went back and went fishing. They fished all night long. And it's just what it says, all night. You ever fished all night? I have. I don't know. Yeah, and I have fished all night and caught nothing. Nothing but mosquito bites, but and a cold or whatever. But they fished all night, they caught nothing. Then there's this guy on the shore, and really they didn't know who this was. They're out, you remember now, they're out in the Sea of Galilee. They're floating around on a boat out there, and there's some dude on the shore, and he says, hey, you catch anything? No. You know, no. You know, they had to be disappointed. And he suggests the other side. Pull your nets up, throw them on the right side. At that minute, what's the old commercial? Oh, I could have had a V8. You know, it came to him. It came to Peter and John. Hey, that's Jesus. You know, and that's what happened to him. And you remember Luke 5. If you go and read Luke chapter 5, and we won't tonight, but Jesus had got there to the Sea of Galilee, and he gets in Peter's boat for a place to speak to the people, the multitudes on the hill. And it's a good sound deal, you know, the water being there. And he tells Peter, he said, go out in your boat, cast on, let's go out here. He said, throw out your nets, and remember that, throw out your nets, plural, for a draught. Peter's like, look, Jesus, I've been out there all night long and I ain't caught nothing. But you know what? Because, Jesus, you're who you are, I'm going to throw out a net. Not nets, but a net. So he didn't give it all he had, and that's a whole other sermon. But after he did that and he couldn't get the nets in because they were so full, the net in, if you read Luke 5, you'll find out he fell down on his knees and he said, I'm a sinful man, depart from me, get away from me. You know, there's a reason behind what he did. He was a rebellious guy. That's rebellious Peter. Now, fish for breakfast. You ever had fish for breakfast? I have. I pulled them fresh out of the Gypsum Creek in Gypsum, Colorado, gutted them out, cleaned them off a little bit, put a little butter on there, a little salt and pepper on a frying pan. Oh, they're good. But you take trout home and they ain't worth having. But these fish were, Jesus just went and there was fish. I wonder what they taste like. That would have been some good fish. Jesus being the chef, you know. Hey, it's just a thought. He prepared them breakfast. Then Jesus says something that's important. But now I want you to note something. I'm going to read this verse. Verse 15, Jesus says, so when they had denied, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter. Now, catch what he says. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Who did he say? Did he call him Peter? No, he called him Simon. Why did he call him Simon? Because Simon, Peter, wasn't where he should have been in his life. If you look back at the Gospels and you get to reading about Peter, when Jesus first met Peter, he said, Peter, he said, you'll be called Simon. He said, you'll be called Peter because it means stone, more or less. You're going to be part of the church here, the rock. By the way, Jesus was the rock, not Peter. Because the word Cephas means stone. And so after that, he called him Peter. But anytime Peter got in trouble, anytime the Lord had to speak to Peter on that, you know, exalt part, it was always Simon. See, he was getting his attention. And so he said, Simon, lovest thou more than these? Now, what are these? There's lots of discussion. If you read this account, there was 153 fish. Why the number 153? I don't know. There's all kind of people that's come up with all different ideas. They were great fish. They were big. Peter was a fisherman. There was a lot of money involved in that. Personally, I believe that he was talking about the apostles that were there with him. He said, Peter. And by the way, we're not going to go into the love, but the word Jesus used was agape, and then he used agape again, and then he used phileo. which phileo means friend. Agape is a whole lot more special than phileo. See, we just got love. I love a cheeseburger, but I love my wife. You know, I mean, you know, so, you know, we don't have the loves they have, but so he asked. That was a good cheeseburger I had today, too. But he asked Peter, he said, you love me more than these? And I really think he was talking about those that he just led astray. That's really what I think because of what he said after that. He said, well, hey, Jesus, you know I love you. He said, well, feed my lambs. See, I think he was talking about those guys. Those guys were like lambs. They'd only been with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus had been taken away all of a sudden. Now they're running wide open, and who did they look to for guidance? They looked to Peter. Apparently, they followed him back to Galilee. He's standing out there at the Sea of Tiberias, Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, and he decides he's going to go fishing. So there they stand, and so he said, you need to feed them. And then do you love me more than these? And I really think these meant those guys. Now, he says a second time, Peter, you love me? Peter's like, well, yeah, Jesus, you know I love you. Well, feed my sheep. And there again, I think, you know, in other words, listen, these guys are going to grow, Peter, in the knowledge of me. They're lambs, but as you go through your life with these guys and as you guys go through teaching and preaching, they're going to grow. They're going to need more feeding. They're here with you, and you're going to need not only them, but others as well. But Jesus asked him a third time. Now, this bothered Peter. He didn't like that. Matter of fact, he got a little bit out of shape. But there's two things in here I want us to see in this verse. He says, verse 15, Peter, you love me? Verse 16, Peter, you love me? Peter's getting all bent out of shape. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas. In other words, he's getting his attention. Simon, I'm talking to you, not anybody else. He said, lovest thou me? And he said, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things that thou knowest, all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. But I want you to look back at a verse 9. This is kind of an important thing. It says, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals. Now, the whole idea of this night, of this morning, was to get Peter's attention because Peter ain't where he needs to be. There's only one other place in the entire Word of God that is used fire of coals. And that's over in John, I believe it's 18. I may have written it down. John 18, 18. They built a fire of coals because it was cold, and Peter was standing there doing this, warming his hands. What did he do that night? He denied the Lord Jesus. That's the only place it's written. The night he denied Christ. Now, I don't know. For me, when I read it, I read John 18, 18, and it says there was a fire of coals. You can go back and read in other places, and it'll say a coal of fires. Coals on fire. Anything other than fire of coals. I read it in John 21, and it says a fire of coal. He was bringing back to memory for Peter. He's jogging the memory of, hey, Peter, he asked him how many times? Do you love me? Three times, right? Peter, you love me? Oh, Simon. Simon, you love me? Simon, you love me? Simon, you love me? How many times did Peter deny?
Three
times. See, he's getting to Peter. He's getting to ring that bell. He asked about his love for him three times. Peter denied him three times. Notice verse 17. it says Peter was grieved. In other words, he was. When you look up the word grieved, he was really sorrowful. He was sad. What did he do? He denied Christ three times and then went out and wept bitterly, it says. In other words, man, he just cried. You ever just broke down and just wept so bad that you were like, it just wore you out? I believe that's where Peter was at in his life when he did that. Now, we need to go look at something else. Luke chapter 22. I wish I knew what he was saying. No. Yeah, one of these days we'll have our ceilings back on. We won't hear that. They didn't hear everything we say too, so. Luke 22, verse 32. Actually, verse 31. It says here, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon." Oh, there's Simon again. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." But listen, underline this, highlight it, whatever you want to do. Verse 32, "But I have prayed for thee." Did you know Jesus prays for us? He does. He prays for us. He told us that in John 17. "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." In other words, it wasn't when you get saved, Peter. No, it means when you get your life back the way it's supposed to be, you get your heart right with me. What did he say? "Strengthen thy brethren." See, that's where I tie that in with Simon, you love me? Well, then feed my lamb. Simon, you love me? Feed my sheep. Simon, you love me? Feed my sheep. I believe he's supposed to strengthen them. Jesus already knew that night what was going to happen. "You're going to deny me three times, Peter, and you're going to flee." But you got to hand it to him. He came back. The rest of them didn't. There's only one other one that didn't take off, and that was John. John stuck with him the whole time. That's the reason John didn't die a martyr's death. There he was. "Feed my sheep," the third time, I believe, was Jesus telling him, "They will need encouragement, Peter, and you're the stone." What do you think he named him that for? I believe that's why he named him that. Those guys are going to look to you, Peter. And as we know now in history, they did. These men needed help. Jesus was testing his love. That's exactly what Jesus done. When Jesus came to him on the shore that night, it wasn't to really belittle him. It was testing his love, because before that, well, here, let me finish reading something. And verse 33 of Luke. "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." He was, "I'm going to stand right here with you, Lord." And he said, "Peter, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." So I believe Jesus was telling him something really important. Matthew 26:33. Says, "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. But he ran away and he wept sore." He returned, but Peter failed, didn't he? Jesus did what though? Jesus was in the process, John 21, of restoring Peter. He was in the process of strengthening Peter so that he would encourage the brother, just like he told him to. And Peter became a great pillar of the church and a leader of these men. They looked up to him. Who's the first person that stepped up on the day of Pentecost and started running his mouth? It was Peter. Who was the one that when they arrested him a few days after that, they said, you do what you want to do, but we got to obey God rather than man? That was Peter. The same one that stood there at a fire barrel and said, I don't know him, blank, blank, blank. You know, we'll add the beeps in there because I don't know what he said. It just said he cursed. So he was the one that bragging on, I'm the man, I'm going to stand right here with you. But he failed. Here he reminded Peter of the great commandment of his love for God. See, he was testing his love. That's what he does. He tests our love too. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 39. And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Peter, you love me more than these? You sure? And that come back to mind. Peter was standing there the day he said that too. The question is to you, do you love him more than all of this? Do we put God where he's supposed to be? Verse 37. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. But think about this. How has Jesus tested your love for him? You know, I ask myself that sometimes, and there's some things that come to mind. Now, by reading what we've read, we're talking about a man named Peter that walked and talked with Jesus, ate fish with Jesus, was in a boat with Jesus, argued with Jesus more than once. You know, Jesus, I'll stand by you. You can count on me, brother. I'm going to be there. And then it all hit the fan, and where was Peter? I mean, we're talking about a man that was brave enough, jerked a sword out and cut a dude's ear off. But then once he saw Jesus in handcuffs or tied up or whatever they... You ever read the account of in John where they arrested Jesus? Matthew, Mark, and Luke gives account of him getting arrested. But John's got the best one. I love it. Here stands Peter, James, John, Andrew, Nathan, Nathaniel, Philip, all these guys are standing there. These dudes, Roman soldiers, walk up, and Judas does his thing, and then they said, Jesus said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, I'm he. Poof, they all fell down. You know, wouldn't you think if you was Peter, you'd be like, what happened? Can we have an instant replay of that? You know, it had to have looked funny. You'd think they'd have noticed something. Peter gets all angry. They ain't taking you. And whips out the sword and cuts the guy's ear off. And then Jesus picked it up and put it back on. And then they haul him off. And everybody goes, we're out of here, man. And then Peter sneaks back down and watches from a distance. And Jesus looking at him when he denied it. He failed. So we don't need to be surprised and get all down on ourselves and discouraged when we fail. Because listen, we're going to fail. That's just the way it works. We're going to fail. Something's going to trigger something in there. You're going to lose your cool. You're going to pop off to the wrong person. We're going to fail. And when we do, guess what? Jesus pick you right back up. I've failed more than once. And Jesus just scoops you right back up. That's the best part about it. He picks it. He just wants us to be, in other words, Jesus wants to be in the center of our will. He wants us in the center of his will. It's kind of like I told you, well, I forgot where I said it now. You're going down the highway and you got that tire rotating. But if you get it all set on the spindle, it don't run right. It don't feel right. Flopping up and down and your steering wheel shaking and you're thinking something's wrong. Listen, that's the way when we get off center with Christ, that's the way things are. Everything's starting to be shaky and I ain't got the peace I had and things ain't right. What's the deal? Because you ain't in the center of his will. And that's when he tests your love for him. And it's hard to say how that may come across. But he does. But you know what? The best part about it? The blood of Christ continues to cleanse us even in our failures. You know, that to me, well, that's grace. That's a blessing. I you know, you get, person gets saved, they trust Jesus, and they don't walk the way they ought to walk. Well, you expect them to fail. But then when you're walking the way that you're supposed to be, things are going right, you're serving the Lord the way you're supposed to, and then you fail. And you're like, what'd I do? That was stupid of me. But man, we didn't stop because 1 John 1:9 tells us. If we ask him to forgive us of our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. He also cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And he picks you back up on your feet and sets you down and says, all right, let's go again. That's what he did with Peter. He didn't scold Peter. He didn't show up. Here Peter is. He's denied Christ. Yeah, Christ has already showed himself to him. But Peter's sitting in the back row back there where Gabriel is. I'm just kidding. And they all know it's Jesus. They eat fish with him. And then Peter meanders back down to Galilee because he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do now. You know, what do we do? I'm going fishing. And they all, well, yeah, we'll go with you. He's dragging all these guys right back to the same life they just left that Jesus pulled them out of time and time and time again. And then finally, if you notice in Luke 5, I believe it is, he says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And it said they drug their boats up onto the sand. That means they give it up. But then we find out they had another one stored somewhere. You know, maybe he went and got Zebedee's boat. I don't know. But they went back down there and I'm going to go fishing. He failed all of that time and he wasn't back to that point with Jesus where he should be. But after that night, he was. And then he had one other thing he did that night. And we need to remember this as well. Go back to John 21. One other thing he did that Jesus straightened him out on. I've always liked this. Jesus told him, he said, basically in 18, he says, one of these days, Peter, there's going to be some people drag you off to where you don't want to go. In other words, you're going to die for me, Peter. But he asked him, he said, what about this other disciple? Verse 20. He said, Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, who wrote the book, which also leaned on the breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? In other words, Peter still, he's already talked to him. Peter was man, you know, he was feeling bad. And he's getting his heart right, but he's human. What about this dude, Jesus? What about John? You ever done that? What about Sammy? What about RC? What about John Ellis over here? And this is what Jesus told him. Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, listen, Peter, don't worry about John. He's going to die one day. And John, hey, listen, he's the only one that wasn't martyred, right? According to history, I think he was put in a tub of oil and lived through it. So you know he had to look bad. They had poisoned him in his chalice he was drinking out of. They tried, but Jesus wouldn't let him die because Jesus wasn't done with it. Jesus had already decided, look, he didn't tell him, they're going to put you on the Isle of Patmos, and while you're out there, you're going to write the last book of the Bible. He didn't tell him all that, but that's what he had in store for him. He said, Peter, don't worry about John. See, we don't need to be concerned with others as, what about Miss Betty? No, we need to be concerned with Miss Betty, how she's getting along. If she don't come to church, something's wrong. You know, Judy and Phil, they ain't church, something's wrong. We need to be concerned with them there. But we don't need to be concerned with, well, how's John serving you? What's going on there? Listen, that's not our business. What our business is to follow Christ. And if we're following Christ, all that other stuff will fall in right where it's supposed to go. And when we do get our love tested for Jesus, it'll be all what it's supposed to be. If we're following him. And that's what, hey, what are we to do? We're to follow him. We're to be examples to others. And we're to tell others. Tell them what he's done in your life. Listen, there ain't a person in here, I don't think, that couldn't back up and say, well, you know, yeah, God's done this for me. God's done that for me. It's there. But where are you at? Sometimes we fail, but don't get discouraged about it. When it's like, well, I didn't mean to do that, but it happened and la la. Listen, don't be discouraged about it. Jesus picks you back up. Ask him for forgiveness. He'll scoop you right back up and put you right back where you need to be. That's what he did for Peter. And he'll do the same thing for us.